From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Plans by Minnesota Power to expand a coal ash landfill near the Taconite Harbor Power Plant on the North Shore are being panned by environmental groups. According to a report in the Duluth News Tribune, the groups, including the North Star Chapter of the Sierra Club and the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, say not only can coal ash be toxic on its own, but this particular dump shouldn't be expanded because the power plant it serves may be shut down in the near future. The Duluth-based utility has applied for a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit to fill 6.7 acres of woodland wetlands along the Two Island River in Cook County to hold future coal ash created when coal is burned to make electricity at the Taconite Harbor Energy Center. According to Corps engineers' records, the first new holding pond would be built in 2014, the second would be built in 2018. They will be the fourth and fifth holding ponds on the landfill site that's been permitted by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency since 2002. But the Sierra Club is opposing the ash dump expansion, noting that the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission may be nearing a decision on whether to order Minnesota Power to shut down Taconite Harbor as one of several older, smaller coal plants that would be too expensive to refurbish with expanded pollution control requirement expected in coming years. In addition to environmental groups, the Minnesota Department of Commerce recently agreed that Minnesota Power's older, smaller coal plants should be shut down. It's not clear if or when the PUC may decide the issue. Coal ash can contain mercury, arsenic, lead, and several heavy metals considered an environmental and human health threat. The Minnesota Power ash pond near Taconite Harbor is one of a dozen such landfills in Minnesota and 600 nationwide where coal ash is disposed. The Corps of Engineers is accepting public comments on the ash disposal expansion until the 7th of June. Northeastern Minnesota has a higher percentage of abused or neglected children and children in out-of-home placement than any other part of the state, according to an annual report. The Duluth News Tribune reports the 2012 Kids Count data book found that about 75,000 Minnesota children are without health insurance, with the highest percentages residing in non-metro Minnesota. The report breaks the state into 13 geographic areas. Region 3 consists of Aiken, Carlton, Cook, Itasca, Kuching Lake, and St. Louis counties, and the Boys Fort, Fond du Lac, Grand Portage, and Leech Lake Indian reservations. In this region, 18.5 of every 1,000 children live in out-of-home placement, such as foster care, group homes, or residential treatment facilities. That's the highest number in the state and more than twice the statewide average of 8.7 per 1,000 children, according to data from the report. The region also has the highest rate of abused or neglected children, 6.4 out of every 1,000. That compares to 3.5 out of every 1,000 statewide. Swimmers may be able to remain in Lake Superior a few minutes longer and perhaps earlier than usual this year, that according to a report in the Minneapolis Star Tribune this week. The lake, often numbingly cold, even in midsummer, is running warm this spring after a warm winter and lack of ice cover, that according to Jay Austin, a University of Minnesota Duluth lake researcher. Surface water that would usually have frozen never got colder than about 35.6 degrees during the winter, and relatively warm water remained unusually close to the surface without losing much heat. Now the lake's summer turnover, in which the warm water from below replaces cooler surface water, may occur in early June instead of the customary early July. Austin said, quote, "It's going to be a great year for swimming." Famous for its beauty and serenity, the North Shore Scenic Drive could soon become infamous for loud car-shaking vibrations along the side of the road. The Lake County News Chronicle reports that during a summer project to resurface roads on Highway 61 from Silver Creek Tunnel to Gooseberry River, the Minnesota Department of Transportation plans to gouge new rumble strips into the highway. New highway safety guidelines, which MnDOT established in 2007, require the strips to be on the fog line, the continuous white stripe that divides the driving lane from the shoulder. But neighbors in other areas where rumble strips have been installed have complained that the repetitive noise of vehicles on the strips can carry a quarter of a mile off the road. MnDOT adopted the strips along with the state's two-lane highway system as part of its Toward Zero Deaths campaign in hopes that run-off-the-road accidents will decrease. In 2010, residents of St. Louis County fought against the new rumble strips on their roads, with some so upset they filled them in. MnDOT says it will begin the Silver Creek Tunnel project in June. The Canadian government says it will spend $17.5 million over the next 5 years to help prevent Asian carp from invading the Great Lakes. Silver and bighead carp, imported to the southern United States decades ago, have been migrating up the Mississippi River and its tributaries. Scientists say they could damage native fish species if allowed to reach the Great Lakes, which are shared by the U.S. and Canada. Fisheries and Oceans Minister Keith Ashfield said that Canada will focus its efforts on educating people about the danger Asian carp pose and how to avoid bringing them into Canadian waters. He said Canada will also work with the U.S. experts to develop early warning and rapid response systems in case the aggressive fish are discovered in the Great Lakes. A public information meeting to explore the potential impact of aquatic invasive species on the Gunflint Trail region's lakes and fishing will be held at 4 p.m. Wednesday, June 6th at the Hungry Jack Lodge. Minnesota Sea Grant AIS presenter Marty Kitson will discuss the variety and scope of AIS impacts for the Gunflint region. The meeting is open to the public and is designated for regional lake and fishing partners who have concerns and hopes about the control of AIS. The presentation will focus on the AIS in the region and how they spread and the impact they have over the long term. After a meal, Bill Metelfeld of the Hungry Jack Lake Association and Kitson will lead the participants in a sharing of ideas and possible regional responses. The AIS session is sponsored by Minnesota Sea Grant, Hungry Jack Lodge, and the Hungry Jack Lake Owners Association. More specifics and information are available from Elena Berg at Cook County Soil and Water. A Minnesota man won the South Dakota Kayak Challenge on the Missouri River over the holiday weekend. Joe Zellner of Grand Marais finished the 72-mile course between Yankton and Sioux City, Iowa, in less than 9 hours. That was about an hour faster than the time of the 2010 winner. The race was canceled last year because of Missouri River flooding. This year's race drew 170 kayakers. It started Saturday morning. Some kayakers didn't finish the course until Sunday morning. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.